That's always been what Mrs. Gritz and I have done. When we were coming over here to come to start our furlough, our folks in England said, "Pastor Gritz, where are you going to live?" "I don't know." "Well, where are you going to settle?" "I don't know. But I know God knows." And we've always been that way. I was in Hommy, Oklahoma. Anybody know where that's at? Amen. My mom and my brother lived there. Of course, their last name is Gritz. How many got that now? How many Gritz? And they're in the First Baptist Church of Hommy, Oklahoma. That's where they go to church. And they asked me a year ago to come and do their winter Bible conference. They gave me 4 nights teaching. And they gave me a book to teach. And it was we started at 6 o'clock. We'd go to 7, eat for 30 minutes. Then I'd finish up, and we'd be finished and gone by 8 o'clock. And I really appreciate them giving me that chance, but I wish they would have given me an easier book. They gave me the book of Deuteronomy. And I did it in those 4 nights. And but it was interesting. On the Sunday morning, I preached, and I told them, I said, we're vagabonds. It's just like what you was talking about with Brother Rob. If we have to, we'll live out of that van. And because that's what God wants us to do. And lo and behold, after I mentioned that, I did say, "I'm sponging off my mom." And because we were staying with my mom and my brother. And after saying that, the pastor came to me and says, "You don't have a place to live?" I said, "No." He says, "We have a parsonage that's just sitting empty." And he said, "It's just sitting there. We'd like for you to live in it." And he said, "I've already talked to some of the men, and as soon as I mentioned it to the men said, well, I was thinking the same thing." And they took us over to see it. It's just a simple little house, but they had renovated the whole inside. All the stove and the freezer and the fridge and the washer and dryer and all the tags are never coming off of the appliances. They put all new hardwood floor. They're going to put furniture in it. He said, "Don't you worry, Brother Gritz. It's not going to be furniture out of somebody's barn. You know, we're going to make sure we get the right furniture. They're going to have a master bedroom. They're going to put the kitchen and the dining room, the living room, and said make sure it's Wi-Fi and everything else. And we just want you to live in it." See, I wasn't looking for something like that. But God knows. And all because of faith. I'm just trusting God. And your missions and your coming missions, giving, that's what you're going to have to do. You trust God. You may not know where it's going to come from. You may not know how it's going to happen. But you just trust God. Just let me, another little illustration. My mom, of course, the Native Americans, Cherokees, had some of the Cherokees have oil wells. So they get the royalties. And one year, my mom says she was getting the royalties, but there's only something like $7, you know, maybe $10 at the max. And so she said, I promised to the Lord I would give that royal check to missions for that whole year. And you know what happened? That thing went up to 30. Sometimes up to 50. And Mom put it in for missions all that year. And at the end of the year, when it was finished, the oil check royalties went back down to 7, to 10. But Mom said, "I knew why. Because I just trust God." Faith in God. You see, God wants to do a work in each and every one of you. God has a work for each and every one of you. And God's not saying, because you're old, no, God still has a work for you. Because I'm so young, no, God has a work for you. God has a work. Take your Bible, if you would please, to John chapter 6. And while you're going to John chapter 6, my wife wrote these notes down for me, so I need to make sure, because I ask her to. Because sometimes my memory, I forget some things. By the way, Brother Rob, I appreciate your son so much. He He did a fantastic job setting up here. You know why, don't you? He had the right flag. He had the best flag. He had the UK, United Kingdom. I want to say thank you, folks, for your hospitality. Great hospitality. And you may say, well, I never brought anything, but you smiled and you shook my hand. And that's hospitality. And we appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you brought each night the desserts. Oh, man, that was cool. I like that. Man, that was good. And tried all of them that I could. Of course, I couldn't get every one of them. I'd be bigger than what I am now. But appreciate that very much. And also, I want to thank your pastor. Man, your pastor cooked a meal on the evenings for us. I mean, he cooked great. I mean, we had barbecue one night. I never had that was good barbecue. And we had Mexican one night. And he did a fantastic job of cooking. You know, he took us out and he paid for it. But I appreciate all that. And my folks, they asked me, Pastor Gritz, when you get there, what are you going to do? And I told them what I'm doing. And I've had heart problems, and they're talking about the defib. I've gone through that twice myself. And right now, my heart, I don't have a pacemaker, but I'm on medication. And so they're doing it and taking care of it by medication. And I know what it's like, and I know I understand that. And they were concerned, said, Pastor Gritz, we make sure you go back home. Make sure you rest. Make sure you take time to regenerate. And I appreciate my people very much for their concern. The month before we were getting ready to come, my associate pastor and associate that came to me and said, Pastor Gritz, don't you worry about anything right now. We're going to take care of the rest of it. You just get ready to go home. Don't worry, because there were some things that needed to be taken care of, and they took care of it. How's that all come about? By faith. God's work. It's not ours. This is not your church. This is God's. And when we begin to get to that point and that thinking, this is God's, He can begin a greater work. This church doesn't exist just because of you. This church exists because of God. And when we make God the center, we make God everything, then God can do a greater work right here. In John chapter 6 and verse 26, he says there in verse 26, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their faithfulness and their generosity. And Father, I ask now as we come to this Sunday morning, as we come to the point of realizing what we're going to do for missions, realize this is a work of God. And God, you're allowing us to be a part of it. And God, when we get a part of it, you're going to bless us. And God, when you bless us, we're going to be able to even give back more. So God, help us to realize what you are going to do with Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. And I ask you, Father, your blessings upon them. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The work of God. It is a belief in Him, not only in that it's God's plan for salvation, but a lifelong pattern for our life. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to do the work of God, or why it seems so powerless in our Christian lives? We are beaten and bruised by sin and attitudes that cannot be overcome. We are battered by circumstances that seem to confine us. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt sometimes that we are not living the Christian life. I mean, how many are on a mountain high every day? I'm not. I understand my life. I understand who I am. You need to understand who you are. And when you begin to understand who you are, you begin to understand how big God is and how what God can do within our lives when we begin to really be honest with ourselves. We're not honest. Have a facade in our lives that to show for people everything's all right when it's not. And it's better to be honest of your in your own life with your own self, and then you can be honest with others that then you can find help and relief through the Lord Jesus Christ, because then God has you where He wants you. I like the sermon, Brother Bear. That's when Isaiah looked at Jesus. That was good. Man, that's pretty good for a guy that didn't have much hair. I tell you, it was all right. You know, and Brother Rob, you know, on the cross. The cross. You notice the theme is the fact it's all upon Jesus. It's not on anything. On anything that I've done. Everything that I've done and everything that I've gone through is for the fact of Jesus. Sometimes I remember one day going out and knocking doors. And as I was knocking a door, I knocked this lady's door, and she opened the door. I introduced myself and told her what I was doing. And she said, "I'm getting sick and tired of all you foreigners coming over here trying to change our lives, trying to change our culture. I wish you wouldn't even be here." Slam. And Satan used that. I allowed then Satan to use something in my life that God was trying to teach me a better lesson. I got to the point where I didn't want to get out. I got to the point where I didn't want to talk to anybody. I got to the point where I'd even drive down the road and somebody would honk a horn, I'd think they know I'm American. And I got to that point and I didn't want to do anything. You see, we got to be honest with ourselves. And that's when I had to confess it to the Lord and have Him help me in my life. Folks, sometimes we do get down, but we don't have to stay there. We don't have to allow Satan to cause us to get in a corner and become so self-pitiful and in our lives. Listen, folks, you don't need to be there. If you stay there, you're not going to be worth anything. You're not going to be used in the work of God. Be honest. Jesus gives us the answer. Do we really want to work for God, to live supernatural lives that are manifesting evidence of the Spirit presence, then we must believe Him. Because that's what He says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, that this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him. First of all, you have to believe on Him for salvation. We have to come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to come to Him for salvation, accept Him into our heart and life by faith, believe Him. And then our lives should be lived in the same manner of believing Him. He can do it. He'll bring it on. It's just like that vehicle out there I'm driving. Now, we go through, I can't even remember the name of the place, Baptist Missionary Transport in Harrisonville, Missouri. That's where they're paid. We used them three times. This is the third time. Well, got some mixed up with them. And they said, well, you can only have it till April. Oh, man, what am I going to do then? You know, I've got to get around. I've got to be able to get to my meetings. You know, I guess I'm going to have to start walking a week earlier, you know, to get there on time, you know. And, you know, I have to get a strap and a little backpack for Gail so she can carry it all, you know. And that's the way the Indians do it, you know. And we flew into Kansas City, and in Kansas City it was snowing, and they forgot that they were supposed to come and get us, and they forgot about the email, and so they were a couple hours late coming. And by the time they got there, the snow was covering the streets and everything else. And he picked us up at Kansas City Airport. We had to drive back to Harrisonville. It took us 2 hours to get down there across to Kansas City. And then we told him everything that we needed, and he gave me the keys. And then I had to drive all the way down to Springfield, Missouri, in all the snowstorm. And halfway down there, he calls and says, "Oh, by the way, we found out you can have that van all year." Great, man, I'm in the middle of a snowstorm. But praise the Lord. I am. I'm going, praise the Lord. You see, what we do, we let all the snowstorms and all the circumstances of life come down upon us, and we say, God, what are you doing? God says, I'm getting you to believe me. Believe in me. I'm there. You just believe in me. He says, believe in him. We want a formula of super spirituality or understanding of his power. Jesus is almost mundane in telling us the key for spiritual success. It is believe in him. He wasn't sitting there going, now, here's point one, here's point two, here's point three. You know, that's one thing I found out about Americans. I realized it about Americans. Americans have to have the hype. Americans have to have the one, two, threes. Americans have to have a new gadget, a new gimmick. And Jesus Christ didn't sit there, all right, I got a new gimmick for you. He said, what you got to do is believe in me. Believe in me. We don't do gimmicks. We don't do different things at temple in England because they're just British. They don't do those things. We just teach them to believe in God. And then we live the same thing we preach. The way I have to teach them is not just taking them to Scripture and say, now you got to do it. I have to do it. I have to live it. I have to apply it. Because if I don't apply it, they're not going to apply it. They're not going to see any benefit in it. And God's and Jesus just mentions this, says, believe in him whom he hath sent. Believe Jesus. Can Jesus take care of anything of your situation? Can Jesus take care of the snowstorms of your life? Can Jesus take care of what's happening in your health right now? There's many who have health problems. Can Jesus take care of it? Do you really believe it? I was laying in that hospital bed when I first had this, and I was laying there and looking up at the ceiling, and the scripture came to mind in the book of Psalms. It says, God can heal the broken in heart and bind the wounds. And I laid there and said, God, this heart is yours. Whatever you want to do it, you do it. Because I believe in you. I believe in him. Not only is his God's plan for our salvation when we first come to him, it's a lifelong pattern. Just three steps, three things I want to bring out in this. First of all, this kind of faith implies trust. Implies trust. Look at verse 26. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you go back to the beginning of chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. What a miracle. You know, that's like last night, you were feeding the 5,000. And you had enough food to feed the 5,000. You know, it was good. I really enjoyed it. And had good fellowship with some people. We need to talk to some of them about some things. How many tried the squid? Hey, you know, here are these people where they came out to see Jesus. They come to hear him preach, and he talked to them. They got down to the end of the day. And the disciple says, tell them to go, because the place they were was a desert place, and there was no places for them to go to Oklahoma Joe's? Yeah, you know, there was no Mexican restaurant. There was nothing like that. And they said, they need to go home so before it gets too dark, because they're not going to be able to eat. And what did they find? The only provisions they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know what I like about Jesus and about God? They don't do things off the cuff. It's always organized. This was organized. There was a reason for it to happen, to show forth the mightiness of God. And in fact, that what did Jesus do? He had them set down in groups. It was all organized. He was teaching those disciples how to organize. And he organized them all in groups, and he took those loaves and fishes, and he looked at him and he blessed them. You know, that's the reason why we ought to pray every time we eat. I hear people say, why should we pray? Because God's given it to you. One time, my wife, the only thing we had to eat was pot pies. I don't like pot pies. Not here in America. To me, they got too much gravy in them. Now, if you want a meat pie, you come to England. I'll show you a meat pie. I mean, it has meat. Fellas, you come in. You want a steak pot? You get a steak pie. Yeah. I didn't want to eat those. And then Gail says, well, this is all we got. I'm not going to pray over it. I said, Sally, that's our oldest, you pray. Sally said, Lord, thank you for these pot pies, and help Daddy to eat his pot pie. Wait a minute. How many I just, no, Chad, you pray. He's the oldest son. Lord, thank you for the pot pies, and may Daddy eat his pot pie. All right, give me a pot pie, I'll eat it. It's all we have. Got to be thankful for what God gives us. He fed all those people till they were full. And they picked up all the fragments. And they had more than what they started with. And then Jesus left. And these people were so full, what did they do? They went to sleep is what they did. Snoring away. Then they woke up. They were hungry. Where's our free meal? So he ran to find Jesus. They found out where he went, and they found him. And they're coming to him now. And Jesus says, you didn't come to me because of the miracle. You come to me because you want a free meal. That's what he's saying. There's a lot of people who run after the free meal. God, as long as you're giving it to me, I'll give it to you. God, as long as you're showing me exactly what I'm supposed to do, I'll give to you. You know, you find out in the Word of God that is not scriptural. What's scriptural with the Word of God is that we say, God, by faith, I'll do it, not knowing what's going to happen. God, I'll step out there and go, not knowing what's going to happen. And when God says, you go out and you step out by faith, then I can do those things that you need. I can provide those things that you need in your life. That God is still doing that for us. He's still providing for us. And God will do that with you. You have to believe Him. You have to believe that and trust Him. Trust means confidence. As 2 Corinthians 3:4 says, in such trust have we through Christ to the God's word. Do you truly trust this word? If you don't trust this word, you're not trusting God. You can't trust the word of God. You can't trust God. There's one thing we have to do with these sponsorship people that come in, and we have to make sure they're there to do what they're supposed to do. We do we call it a work agreement. And what the work agreement is that this is what they're going to do and what they said they're going to do on the field. They sign it. I sign it. Now, it's not a legal document, but because we sign it, it makes it binding. Then I believe they're going to do what they're going to do. And if we cannot believe God's word, then we're not really going to do what God wants us to do. And He can't do the work that He wants to do through us because we're not believing Him. And we have to have confidence in His word. Also, we have to be persuaded. Persuaded means no matter what goes on, I'm going to do it. As Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we trust that we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Honestly. Are you living honestly? Man, living honestly means the fact that the way I do my business, the way I transact my business, the way I treat people, The way I do things when I go, you know, now there's one thing in England, and it's kind of getting there now because of the Americans. This tipping in the restaurants. Really don't do that in England. You know, pretty nice. You can go in and eat, you don't have to tip anybody. Now, if you're a waitress here, please don't get upset at me. All right? Because I do it in America. I tip. Don't spit no end. Don't take wooden nickels from Indians. No, I don't do that. You know. But a lot of times, you know, we have to be honest in everything that we do. Live honestly. Because that's persuaded. Because I believe him. And committed trust. Gonna remember in 1 Timothy 1:11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God gave us the gospel and he's committed it to us, and our trust ought to be in his gospel. This kind of faith implies trust. Number two, this kind of faith, a belief implies obedience. Look at verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. To say we believe in Jesus while simultaneously ignoring his instructions, even the hard ones, it is to attempt to bypass a relationship with him. It is not true belief. If I say I believe God, but I do not obey him, I don't believe him. If I can't obey God's word, I cannot obey what God has for me, I cannot obey, then I'm not belief in him. Now listen to this verse in Romans 16, verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, the word I want you to really understand is the word commandment. Now, when you think of the word commandment, what comes to mind? Some of you may say the Ten Commandments. But most of the time, when the word commandment comes, what most people think is, oh, here he comes with rules. Now, he's going to tell me, I can't. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's what most people think commandments are. But have you really looked at what the word means? You see, you got to understand something. Sometimes we see it in English, but a lot of times, especially the New Testament, was written in Greek. And you got to go back into the Greek, the dictionary, to begin to see what the word means, what it really is, the meaning behind it. And the word commandment means prescribe or prescription. You see, God says when he gives a commandment, it's a prescription. It's what we need. I'm on medication. That's the reason I do what I do. I'm on medication. And it's prescribed. Now, in England, we don't call them drugstores. We call them the chemist or dispensing chemist. I remember the first time he came home, TJ, our youngest, of course, he was only 18 months when we went to England, and everything he thought of and everything he would speak about, it was all with English terms. And when Gail said, oh, there's a drugstore, he went, they sell drugs. Literally thinking drugs. No, son, it's a chemist. Oh, okay. But they thought he sold drugs in there, which they do. But prescribed drugs. The doctor gives you a prescription. You go down to the chemist, and you tell the chemist, this is what I have. You give them to him, and they fill your prescription, and that's your prescription. Nobody else can take it. That's what's prescribed for you, and it will help you. Now, I know what will happen to me if I don't take my medication, because I did it once, and I'm not do it again. I did it by not meaning to. I didn't take it for a couple of days. You know, you get to the point you think, well, I'm all right, you know, I don't need to take this stuff. I didn't take it for a couple of days. And all of a sudden the world started going like this. And when it started going like this, I was driving. And I remember I had to drop somebody off to church, and then I got 3 miles to drive home. And I remember holding on to that steering wheel and just keeping my mind on, I got to get home, I got to get home. And I did. I finally got home, and I barely got into the house. And Gail said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I haven't taken my medication." He said, "Well, you think you can get to church?" "Oh, yeah, you know, tough pastor." Got to church, and she had to hold on to me like a little old man, get down the aisle and put me on the front row. And I sat there and said, "I'm not going to be able to make it here." Now, we have a nicer word in England. We don't call it throwing up. We call it being sick. Sounds a little nicer. Yeah. You know, and I said, "I got to go home." So Gail, she got me and she took me out, and I got out by the car, and all the people were driving up for church about that time. And I get around in front of the car. Yeah. I was sick. She took me home and she sat me down. I said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I'm going to make sure I'm going to be able to sit here." She said, "I'll take my medication and I should in a few hours be all right." She went on to church, and sure enough, I got up and took my medication. By the evening time, I was all right. I'm going to take what's prescribed to me. And folks, in the Word of God, when God says command, He's not telling you no. He said, "This is prescribed for you. This will help you. This will keep you going. This will help you function." When we look at what God gives to us, commands us, we don't do this. We obediently obey what God has for us. We say, "God, if that's the medication I need, then I need to take it. That's what I need to do." He commands that. We show Him who we obey. When we do it, we're showing people who we're obeying. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Either we are against Him or we're for Him." There's no gray area there. You're either for Him or you're against Him. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? Well, so is God. So is God. You see, a lot of people want to put their own 2 cents in. If that's all you got, keep it. You may need it. God doesn't need your 2 cents. We just need to trust God. And we just need to obey His word. Because what He prescribes is going to help us. We need to be obedient. Number 3, this kind of belief implies faith in His power. In verse 28 and 29, He says, "Then said they unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." Believe on Him. He is the God who can move mountains, and His promises do so in response to our faith. How much faith does it take to remove a mountain? What's the scripture say? The grain of a mustard seed. Hey, folks, we think we have a lot of faith. Are mountains being moved in your life? Are mountains really being moved in your life? We've already, since we've been back, seen mountains being moved. I want to stay there. I want to stay where I keep seeing the mountains moved. That means I have to obey Him. That means I have to trust Him. And that means it's His power, not mine. It's His power. He is the authority. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own power." God says, it's not for you to know everything. Listen. As Christians, we're just to trust Him and to obey Him. We're to step out by faith. We're just to do it. We're to follow His word. We're to trust His word. We're just to believe His word. We're to believe on Him. We just do it. So many times we got to think, I got to have somebody to spell it all out to me. Well, you have to spell it all out to me. It's like Jesus said, believe on Him. Believe Him. God has blessed us so much through the years there being in England. I tell you what, we do enjoy England. When we come this way, we say we're coming home. When we go that way, we're saying we're coming home. It's home. And God's blessed us so much in everything. I don't have time to tell you everything of our lives, how God, because He's the authority. I just trust Him. We live in His authority. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." You will be witnesses. When you begin to allow the work of God to really come into your life, one thing you'll understand, you begin to understand your relationship with God. You begin to understand God. When you understand God, then you understand His plan. See, we have it the other way around. God, I got to know your plan first. God doesn't give us the plan. God would have scared me to death if I would have said that day, "God, I'll go be a missionary." And He says, "All right, Tom, now what you're going to do? You're going to have to go on deputation." That would have scared me right there. You're going to have to get on the road. You're going to have to go to a bunch of churches and people you don't know. Someone are going to look at you mean. You ought to be smiling this morning. How many had enough coffee? How many aren't going to raise your hand on anything I ask? Just like when you go vote. You know, not non-committal. That's the problem with Christians today. We're non-committal. And God does not want non-committal Christians. God wants Christians who are committed to the cause of Christ, not saying, "Well, God, are you going to supply everything?" And they're going to say, "God, I know you will, and I believe you, I'm going to go." When we said we're going to go to the mission field, we didn't say, "Well, God, you sure you're going to get everything?" No, we're going. Because that's what God says. I believe Him. He's the authority. He's the power. He could work through us. God has not finished doing a work within any of us right now. God was going to call you. I know you support a lot of missionaries, Pastor. But how many of them are from this church? Two. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if you had a third one? A fourth one? A fifth one? That shows the greatness of a church that God works. God is not finished with any of you. God says, "Listen, I'm the authority. Live within that authority." You'll have the power of evangelism then. Because He's the power. This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus, trust, obey, and believe. We are simply branches on the vine. When we rely on Him, we can expect God to work miraculously in us. And in fact, we come to understand that it already has. Your theme. Interesting. Beloved men, chosen vessels. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this: "If a man therefore purged himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Folks, God wants us to be doing His work. And this mission conference and this faith promise offering that you can be a part of is just a part of that work. Don't be surprised if you get involved with it, that God begin to open other areas that you can be involved in. It's His work. Believe in Him. Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You for this opportunity. We thank You for these, Your dear people. And now, Father, right now, as You're dealing with the hearts and lives of people, Lord, I ask Thou that if they need to come to these altars to pray, may You to pray about their offering, what to give, what to do. Lord, maybe they come down and You're dealing with them about giving their lives Lord, may they come down and just make themselves available to you and say, God, here, I'm yours. Father, there are some here struggling today because they've been looking at all the other circumstances of their lives and not believing in you. Lord, may they come today and leave them at the altar, relieved knowing that you'll take care of them. Whatever the need, may they come today. We give you all the honor and glory. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Shall we stand, please? Each and every one.